So after hearing Ruth's story, you might be considering a vegetable peeler-only lifestyle, but the chef's knife is still, for many people, a prized possession. Like I said before, I still have my first knife from 23 years ago. But you know who loves knives more than cooks? Knife makers. True handmade chef's knives are a rarity, and in America, there are really only a handful of bladesmiths who deal with them. Quentin Middleton of St. Stephen, South Carolina, is one of them, and we talked with him about what goes into the craft of knife making, and it is pretty nuts.
When I decided to be a knife maker, man, it was just one magical moment in life where I decided, yes, I want to do this. Is when I watched Conan the Barbarian, and man, hey, quit laughing at my dreams, man. Come on, this is my life.
No, I'm very serious right now. Conan. Arnold Schwarzenegger with long hair.
Conan. Like, so I watched the movie, and it was like this aha moment. Like, I want to be Conan. Like, so after the movie went off, I took tubing off my swing set. I got a cinder block and a hammer, and I flattened the hammer, and I'm running around chasing my brothers. Like, ah, this is my sword. So after that, you couldn't stop me making bone arrows and aluminum swords and things like that. That's where the passion really started.
Oh, my goodness. Well, how old were you?
Like when Conan came on TV, I probably was 6 or 7,
oh,
something like that.
Oh, man. As a 6 or 7-year-old, you went out and you took apart your swing set and just started banging on it. You got a sword.
Yeah, man.
That's incredible.
Oh, trust me, I got in trouble.
Okay, so you went from having these alarmingly real toy swords you were making, and then you eventually got into the craft of making real knives. As I don't know much about this world, but as I understand it, most artisan knife makers mostly make weapons, right? Like swords, hunting knives, weapons. How'd you get into making chef's knives?
My mentor, Jason Knight, he taught me how to make hunting knives and swords. Mm-hmm. And I was making that for a long time. And I had a dream, man. Like, Jesus came to me in a dream saying, like, make chef knives. And, like, that was like, I'm, like, at a crossroad, like, aha. After I got that idea of making chef knives, I made a long list of every top chef in Charleston, South Carolina. I called every last one of them, and every last one of them turned me down. I guess I was just the telemarketer calling them, trying to sell a knife. I was so disappointed, like nobody would buy a knife for me. After I hang up and waited maybe like a few hours, that same feeling or notion came back on me saying, call one individual back. His name is Craig Deal. He was mm-hmm. the executive chef for Cypress. And I asked him, can you help me develop a knife? So I took what I thought was the ideal chef knife. Mm-hmm. Or chef knives. And I took it to his restaurant, and I took it to his sous chefs and chef de cuisines and things like that, and let them try it and see what they think. And no one bought it. Craig basically kind of gave me the like that tough love. He said, like, these are nice, these are cool, but this is too heavy, this is too thick, this is basically a axe. Like something that I don't want to hear, but something that I needed. So he gave me some hints or some tips to saying, like, okay, I want you to make this knife longer or thinner or taller or things like that. And from those tips, I made knives that he would like. And basically he told his friends, their friends told their friends, and we on Splendid Table talking.
So at this point, you've been making knives that chefs do love for years now. How do you design a new knife? Like, what makes a knife good? Aside from the quality of the blade, which we'll get to later, but like, how do you design a new knife?
Well, Craig Deal and his sous chef, Bob Cook, they are very instrumental in this. Like, so I would basically spend hours in their kitchen. I'm watching them, how they hold themselves, how they hold their knives.
Yeah.
And my mind is just racing and saying, like, okay, what would make their job easier?
Yeah.
Like, if you're using this knife 6 to 8 hours a day, like, what can I do to improve on what you have now?
Yeah.
It took a few years to get it right to what I think is the ideal knife. So I basically research like Japanese knives and German knives, French knives, and I kind of pick from each culture mm-hmm. from the research, the literal researching in the books, reading, and practical research from me watching and trial and error, that kind of got to the point to where I am now on the knives I'm making now.
When you were watching those cooks and you were saying, okay, how can I make your life easier? What are some of the things you were thinking about? Like, what were you looking at?
The things I was looking at is like, okay, like the knives that they're using, some of the knives are kind of heavy. Mm-hmm. Like, so I want you to use the knife instead of it using you. Like, an extension of your arm. If you take your arm out and point your finger, and you wouldn't think, oh, my finger is heavy. It's a part of you. So it feels sure. natural.
Yeah.
So from coming from that notion, like, okay, I need to make the knife light. Like, what other knives people like? They like Japanese knives. Like, yeah. So, okay, my profile of my knives are Japanese-ish, if that's a word.
Yeah.
And I kind of took the European handle. And my mentor, he makes this type of handle. It's almost like a Coke bottle that he kind of got from the Filipino machete. And
oh,
I've copied that handle shape for so long. So I put that on my knife. And now I have this little notch on the chef knife where your middle finger, when you do a pinch grip on your knife, mm-hmm. your middle finger kind of sits in that area. So it just, it basically feels comfortable.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
very
cool.
simple. Like, but when you grab it, like, oh, he really thought this out.
Mm-hmm. So as I understand it, you had to pass this wild sounding knife maker test to test
yeah.
the quality of your blades. Tell us about that test.
I was a part of this organization called the ABS. It's called the American Bladesmith Society. It's a organization that teach people how to be knife makers or bladesmiths.
Mm-hmm.
And there are different categories. You have your apprentice smith, you have your journeyman smith, and your master smith. So to get to the next level, you have to do a series of tests.
Yeah.
You have to forge a 10-inch long blade. So overall, 15 inches knife.
Okay.
And you have to chop through a 2x4 twice and still have a sharp enough edge to shave the hair on your arm. Cut through a 1-inch manila rope and put that knife in a vise and bend it 90 degrees without breaking.
That's bananas.
Yeah.
So knives can do that?
Well, that's the standard that I'm going for, yes. Like, but I don't suggest it, like, because that voids your warranty.
Yeah.
Like, so you can buy another one.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. But that is wild. You know, when I hear you describe that test, the quality of blade, I think, oh, my goodness, that sounds so high-tech. Like, you have to have, like, the most high-tech equipment to make that stuff. But I saw a video of you working, and it looked like it was literally in your backyard, and you were taking this piece of metal out of a fire and hammering it with a hammer. It was definitely a Conan vibe. Do you still make every knife yourself by hand like that?
Yes, every knife that comes out of my shop that has military-made knife, yes, it's handmade by me and my crew.
So the two people you have working with you, small crew, obviously,
mm-hmm.
but you're also in a really small town, and it makes me,
yeah.
it just reminds me of these sort of legendary stories of these like Japanese knife makers in like Sakai City and, you know, these places in Japan
yeah.
where, you know, it's like a small village, but that village becomes known for doing this thing. Is that something that goes in your mind at all?
Oh, definitely, man. Like, my dream from day one was I wanted to build a factory and employ people from my community. That was my dream from the start. And like, even when I was making knives, like a lot of the people that I looked up to, they were kind of disappointed that I was kind of going into the production knife realm. They said, like, oh, you have so much potential and you have so much to give and like you have it, but you're doing production knives. But like Mr. Ford and the Dodge brothers and whoever made the BMWs, like they all started in someone's garage or backyard. And in my mind, I'm saying, like, why can't it start with me? Like, I have the drive, I have the determination, and why not? Like, I can do it. Like, so I've been making knives for 16 years, and my company's been open almost 9 years or so,
mm-hmm.
and it's going in the right direction. Like, so I'm blessed. I'm good.
Thank you so much for talking with us today, Quentin.
Thank you for having me on the show, man. I really appreciate it.
Quinton Middleton's company is Middleton Made Knives.